Greetings, everyone. So glad everyone's here tonight. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 2. Be sure to take out your outline. I did have some outlined on the chair in the back. Proverbs chapter 2. Always important to understand the intentions of God's word, the challenges, the condition. Sometimes we miss one major component of a promise, and that is the condition to the promise. And God had commanded and called it and certainly given it every conceivable motive for why we should seek wisdom. Nothing should be compared to wisdom. Even wealth, gold, silver, ruby, precious gem, nothing is compared to wisdom. And yet, the natural mind thinks it's folly and foolishness. God says their way of thinking is folly and foolishness. So who are you going to listen to? And this morning, we learn of our duty and diligence to seek it with every fiber of our being. Tonight we're going to deal with verses 5 through 8. Let's pick it up in the beginning so we can get the context in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my command within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is the shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. Let's pray. Father, we come to you always realizing how far we fall short in the pursuit of wisdom and choosing in every case, every day, the fear of the Lord. Father, we often wane in our hunger and thirst for you, wisdom, and righteousness. So, Lord, we ask again as we come before your word. Your word, you said, is quick and powerful. It is an energizing book. It is a book that quickens, piercing into our hearts and souls, to our motives, our intents. It goes into the very core of our being. Father, we pray that it will be used to quicken us tonight, to help us to realize the blessing. We are now going to look at the fruit if we do the first four verses. The results, the blessing that come from being all that you have asked us to do. Dear Lord, help us to truly hunger and to thirst and for you, for righteousness, and for wisdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we learn from this morning, when we fulfill the ifs of the eight verbs to receive God's word, to hide his commandments within us, to incline our ears to wisdom, to apply our heart to understanding, to cry out and lift our voice for discernment and understanding, to seek for her like money and search for her like a hidden treasure. When we do that, I touch on it briefly this morning. We have to understand clearly the first four verses of the if. When those conditions are met, then and only then can we have the promise or what it offered us in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. That is presupposing that when we went all the way back to chapter 1, to after it laid down the purposes of the book of Proverbs and why it was written and given to us in verses 2 through 6, it gave us all of these elements that why we the book was written for us. Then it gave us the most important and foundational principle in all of the book, and that is in verse 7. Clearly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So clearly we got a distinction or a splitting off of people who are wise versus fool. Wise ones do fear the Lord and understand and believe what God said there. And then there are others who reject, not only reject, but despise it. They hate it. Even when you're there and you're trying to, in your own human reasoning, trying to think of how in the world does the fear of the Lord make life good and better and more joyful and successful, even when you're in chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is saying by faith, if you do these eight things, verses 1 through 4, then and only then as you come through, you'll understand. When sometimes things are easier understood by experience than explanation. A lot of times we have things we can read, things in the Word of God we can read, and we try to, well, how did that get from here to there? I don't understand how it connects the dots, but God said it does. And that should be enough for us, by faith, to accept that. So we have here, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. Then will you, it will all make sense. Then you will come to the saying, oh my goodness, I get it now. It's kind of like when kids kind of wake up from, oh, I understand now why dad and mom said to do this or that and the other. Sometimes quite a bit later, but God is saying the same thing to each and every one of us. Wisdom is calling to everyone. Wisdom is everywhere available. But you got to stop and pursue her. Not just simply stop and casually listen to her. Pursue her as your way of life. And when you do, then you will come to understand. Not simply know, not to be informed, not that you got the right answer. It is you will understand the fear of the Lord. And to understand the fear of the Lord is to live in the light of that fear of the Lord, which we know it coupled both the fear and the awe, respect, love, and devotion that come to knowing God. Then you will understand. And please understand, when you do those eight verbs, those commands, when you do those things, our labor will never be in vain. Then you'll understand, he says, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says it this way, which is, I think, one of the even more clear than verse 7 of chapter 1, and that is, the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You cannot have true understanding of life, moral life, religious life, spiritual life, and life in general without the knowledge of God, knowledge of the Holy One, the fear of the Lord. Too often we want to simply get, we want to constantly dichotomize the secular world versus the religious world, or the secular life versus the religious life. For a Christian, there is no such division. How we live and what we believe in our Christian faith also works its way in our ethics and our life and day-to-day affairs. It tells you how to be a worker and how to be at the workplace and in your home and treating your neighbor and all of this stuff. There's no secularization going on there. There is, when you fear the Lord, you will live this way. That's why I told you one of my favorite, and I thought was one of the clearest verses in all of Scripture that explain the fear of the Lord, was the one in Leviticus, where about the blind man and the man who was dumb, and he said, never curse a man who cannot hear you, and never cause a stumbling block to be put in front of the blind one. And I already explained to you then that, well, what difference does it make? Because I can curse the deaf man. He won't know who's cursing him or if I'm even cursing him. Doesn't matter whether he understands it or not. God does. And it's a disrespectful thing to do, whether they understand it or not. Same way with putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. They'll never know who did it. But it doesn't matter. When you fear the Lord, you will not do that. See how it fleshes out in a simple thing like that. Job 28:28. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So, part of the fear of the Lord and to find the knowledge of God is also to know God, is to shun and to depart from the path of evil and a sinful choice and lifestyle. You cannot, that's why I've always loved Proverbs 9 verse 10, knowledge of the Holy One. Not just simply knowledge of God, but knowledge of the Holy One. We shall, the idea here, when we pursue Him and do all of those things in first four verses, we will then understand and know Him rightly, and we will approach and worship Him in a way that pleases Him. Because of the fear of the Lord, we will know how to conduct ourselves rightly toward others. One of the important things about the Christian faith is two major commands. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law hangs on those two. So when you truly fear the Lord, you'll know how to interact with people, treat people with respect and dignity. You'll know how to treat people who cross you and hurt you. God's people are not supposed to be given over to anger. Proverbs are going to talk a lot about anger, because that's one of the major problems in relationship. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Here, the fear of the Lord, again, the beginning of wisdom, where it all starts. It's seen in its practical outworking of doing His commandments. You'll find the knowledge of God, one of the greatest passages in all of Scripture regarding the knowledge of God, probably Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 4. Here it said this, thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Here, where a man boasts in his effort and his goals and his ambition, here you got an intelligent person, you got a strong and mighty and influential person, and you got a rich person, all taking glory in their own accomplishments and achievements. Whatever your cup of tea is, whatever your choice is to spend and be spent for, whether it's knowledge and information, influence and power and clout, or wealth untold. God said, let not them do it. Let not him do it. Three times. But he says it, but let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That he understands and knows me. You come to know God and you come to understand and know, though you will never know Him infinitely and perfectly and completely and thoroughly, but you can know Him as much as He had revealed of Himself. Just because we can't find out everything doesn't mean we shouldn't find out everything we can. Who gloried, let him glory that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. This is what I delight in. One of the reasons why we struggle with the providence of God and the sovereignty of God is because we don't know Him. And if we did and do know Him as much as revelation reveals of Him, and we commit and submit to that and understand that, we know whatever beyond our ability to go beyond the cap of our reasoning, we get to go where Proverbs 3:5 said, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. You still acknowledge Him and He will direct and guide you. So often we get topsy and turvy and twisted about because we interject into God's providence our thinking, way we think He should have done it. This is not the way it's supposed to be. That is not for us to say. When you can't understand beyond Scripture, it's best to put the hand over the mouth and let God be God. That's the idea here, to find the knowledge of God. Our Lord in the high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 3, this is the eternal life, that they may know you. So often when we ask, what is the definition of eternal life? We always say, man, I got a ticket to heaven and escape hell. Well, you have to know, but fundamentally it's much deeper than that. It has to do with our relationship with God, and that's why John 17:3, our Lord made it abundantly clear that eternal life is about knowing Him. The fundamental rule of life is knowing the Creator, knowing our great and good God. He went on to say that they may know you, the only true God. Beloved, the Scripture is clear. There is no other God. There may be some called God, little g. Just because they're called doesn't mean they are. Just because they're called that doesn't mean they are by nature God. You have to have certain attributes and characteristics to be God, and only the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as Scripture teaches. John not only states it here, he also says it in his epistle for John chapter 5, verse 20, that we know that the Son of God hath come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Man, that is rich. The fact that life and understanding of salvation and eternal life is all about knowing God, knowing Him, the one true God. So when we follow, then we'll understand. Point number 2, verse 6. It is the Lord that gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It's obvious what the text is saying. You don't need a pastor to tell you what he's saying here. But sometimes you need a pastor to remind you what it's saying. Okay? And that is, it is the Lord Himself who's giving you this wisdom. And unless He gives it, you're not getting it. And you must the only way you're going to get it and receive it is on the conditions of what He has stated so far. It is the Lord that gives wisdom. To receive wisdom from God, beloved, God doesn't owe us this. He doesn't have to reveal anything to us of Himself, His will, His way, and a life of success for His glory and our youthfulness. It is pure, great, unmerited giving of God here, but it's rooted in us pursuing it. Again, God is not going to couch His precious wisdom for the curious, for those who want to be entertained, for the lazy, or want to use it for their own selfish end. God gives it to those who love Him and want to know Him in the process. God is infinitely wide and is the source and fountain of wisdom. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you this spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Here, Paul is praying that we would be filled in the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Him. It's about knowing Him. What kind of effort to really pursue wisdom? It's pursuing God, pursuing to know Him, His will, His way, His word. I love what it says in verse 6 in the second half. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. It is from His word, His outbreathing, His communication. I love it because it's the same idea that our Lord Himself used in His when Satan tempted Him in the desert in Matthew 4:4. We often always quote the first part of the verse, but let me read all of it. And He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from," and then the phrase, "the mouth of God." The mouth of God. Even in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talked about all scripture given by inspiration. The word inspiration, more accurately, is God breathed, God mouthing it out. He is not doing some inspiration into the writers. He is giving them His word. They are expiring and coming from Him. His mouth is what comes out of His mouth. Certainly not folly. Clearly it says here, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Youthful knowledge, right knowledge. The knowledge that leads to youthfulness and that has a Unitarian practical sense, but at the same point in time brings honor and glory to God. From His mouth, beloved, if you need wisdom, what did James say? If you lack wisdom, ask of God, because He is the source. He is the origin. He is the beginning. He is the starting point. He is the supplier. He is the source. He is the author. He is the fountain. He is the wellspring of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. To find it anywhere else is foolish and a waste of your time. You're not going to find what you really need, wisdom that has substance, wisdom that is really true wisdom. The Bible makes it clear, especially when you get in the New Testament, there is the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. And they are not the same thing. There is a devilish, sensuous wisdom, James 3 talked about, and then there's the wisdom that comes down from above. And their fruit is vastly different. But they will always lead to a life that honors God as well. So we see here, it comes to us not by visions or dreams, but through His word, from His mouth. It comes from God. It is God who gives it to us, grace it to us. That's why we have to cry out for it and want it to show the earnestness of our pursuit of it. Bring it to point number 3. what God's wisdom gives, the fruit of, the results of verse 7 and 8. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is the shield of those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saint. First, I want you to notice the character trait of those who are favored with his wisdom. Clearly, a lot of Christians, it's amazing when I started announcing, and even from time to time I say, real wisdom, you cannot be an ungodly person and have real wisdom. Not possible. You'll have worldly wisdom. You may have all kinds of intellectual ability, but you live a life of sin and evil and rebellion to God. You are not fearing the Lord. You are not walking in the path of wisdom. Wisdom is only for a certain group of people. Notice the words that he used here. The ones that are favored with sound wisdom are the righteous. You use the word, they are people, for instance, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is the shield to those who walk uprightly. The word uprightly is a different Hebrew word, which means a person of integrity, a man or a lady who had not, you have a person that walked uprightly, and then you got one who would really, really almost live a full and complete, consistent life, morally speaking. They get to where they get to the place, even the word itself, integrity, speaks of blamelessness. You have a hard time pointing out blame. Kind of like, you know, the enemies of Daniel trying to figure out, man, what are we going to pin on Daniel to get him in trouble? The only way we can do it is something with his religion. So they fabricated the law and duped the king to make a silly and stupid law to pray only to the king. And Daniel's not going to stop praying to the one true God. But the whole idea when Daniel was a man of integrity, a man who was blameless. They couldn't find anything. That's the kind of people that are going to get this kind of wisdom, because the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God are going to produce these kind of people. Not only do we see here in verse 7 that the upright and walk uprightly are the people of integrity, it that he guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. So the upright are those who live on the right path. They live a life pleasing to the Lord. Life of integrity, I've already touched on that. They live a full and consistent moral life, a life of moral blamelessness. Certainly not perfect. His saints are, some translations use the word, the holy ones, or the godly. The faithful ones who are devoted to God's honor and service. So this is the type of people who are going to get the fruit of these things, because something is taking hold of their life that is changing their character. That's what Proverbs is not giving you just simply a bunch of witty things to be impressive. Proverbs is giving you certainly witty and short, pithy saying that are filled with wisdom and how to live a life that leads to the following thing. They who receive the blessings and the fruit of God's wisdom are those whose manner of life is consistently pleasing Him. I want you to notice something else in there. He stores up sound, verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is the shield to those who, what's that next word? Those who walk. Those who walk uprightly. Verse 8, he guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. So by the mere use of the word walk uprightly, path of justice, in the way of his saints, that speak to their manner of life and lifestyle. This is the way they live. As they go down their way, go down the path of life, this is the way they live. This is not in church Sunday only kind of stuff. This is what they are 24/7, 360, 5 days a year if you got leap year. The whole idea, beloved, is the fact that they are consistent and this is what God provides for those who seek wisdom. So here now is the fruit of those who walk, live this way. Again, verse, he stores up sound wisdom. It's not just wisdom, he couples it with the word sound wisdom. We know from chapter 1, wisdom is available to all, but sound wisdom is available to the upright. This wisdom is, commentators say, it's wisdom of substance that had abiding success. It's wisdom that, when applied, is efficient. Atkins said this, quote, this is wisdom, effectiveness in getting results. Here as in resulting in right conduct. The wisdom that leads to knowing God leads to doing right, end quote. So this idea of wisdom, sound wisdom, solid wisdom, is successful, effective wisdom when applied to life, not only for life in general and in your day-to-day affairs, but first and fundamentally your moral character. Matthew Henry said it this way, it is sound wisdom, it's foundation firm, its principle solid, and its product of lasting advantage. People who live a life of sound wisdom live a solid life, and they produce things in their life for the good of man, their fellow man, for the glory of God. So the idea, he stores up this kind of wisdom, this sound wisdom. It means he lays up, he fills their treasure reserve, so to speak. This whole idea is instruction to understand his person, his will, his ways, and his word. But that's not all. Look again, verse 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Well, when you have the word shield, and then the next word in verse 8, he guards the path of justice. The idea of shield and guard, it speaks that he protects his people. One of the things we're going to see, and I'm just going to touch on it, but you're going to see a lot as we unfold it, is one of the great ways that God protects his people is when you take the path of wisdom, your lifestyle will keep you from the pitfalls of falling and getting into ways that hurts you. So one of the great protections is not simply God, so to speak, up in the heaven wheeling the sword to anybody who touches you. He does that for his people, no doubt. But one of the things that wisdom gives, and we're going to see it abundantly clear as we work our way through this, is the fact that when you follow the path of wisdom, it's going to help you to save from the wicked men and evil women. It's going to help you to stay away from things that hurt you financially and away from friends that pull you down and destroy your life and making decisions that hurt you in the long run, where you're constantly rebounding back and forth and making, reacting and counter-reacting and instead of following the nice, smooth path where wisdom takes. It's in that path that you have protection. So you either believe God by faith and take that path or find out the hard way. That's why Proverbs said, the way of a transgressor is hard. They seem to have to learn everything the hard way. Never learning. So it's important to understand that wisdom does shield and guard us. But a lot of it is built into the lifestyle that it gives us. If you have a godly, moral, upright person, usually you don't have to worry about the demise of drug overdose, alcoholism, a lot of other things that lead to serious sorrow and pain and require serious intervention by many people to help people to get the light on. It helps when you don't even start that path. Don't take that first bite to sin, temptation. Wisdom is found in Proverbs to help us stay away from this. You know, Adam and Eve didn't do that. God said clearly, you can have anything, but don't eat that. What was the one thing they did? They didn't take God at his word. They bought in the lie from Satan. Nothing really had changed since then. We all succumbed to that too. So God had given us this book, especially for young people and especially for parents, to teach their children, to help them to hunger and thirst for wisdom and take this path. Again, so we see so far, he stores up wisdom for the upright, sound wisdom. He is the shield of those who walk uprightly, he guards the path of justice. He also, in the second half of verse 8, and preserves the way of his saints. Preserves the way of his saints. The word preserve means keeping a watch over. You're kept and preserved by his almighty power. He sees that they persevere. And so it's important that we understand that God demands a lot because he expects us to be pure, sincere, and without hypocrisy in our pursuit of wisdom in himself. I like what Aikens, and I'll close with this quote. Those who fail and become dropouts in the school of wisdom are not those who lack intellectual ability and academic aptitude. They are those who so lightly esteem the wisdom God gives so as not to seek it. May I urge you and plead with you, every one of us, don't ever get to the place where you can say, I don't need this wisdom. We need it. And all you're getting, get wisdom. Go for it. Always beg and cry out to God, I need wisdom. Help me to know what I need to know. Help me to understand what I don't think I need to know already. I mean, so often you got to admit your ignorance and your lack of foresight and insight. God, help me. It's like the psalmist in Psalm 119. Help me to behold wondrous things out of your law. What is he saying there? He is saying a prayer. God, your law, not the easiest thing in the world to read. So help me to behold it and see its wonder. But only God can do that. You don't have the ability within. That's why we have to ask God to help us to see the wonder of it. Same here. We need to see the beauty, the greatness. She is precious, and nothing in this world is compared to the wisdom that will always take us to the knowledge of God and to himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word tonight and for the challenges that it gives us. The motivation it gives us and the fruit of knowing that if we do pursue the 8 verbs in the first 4 verses, the promises of then we'll understand and all of the blessings that flow from it. But Lord, help us not to kid ourselves to think that we can get wisdom and live our own life apart from the power and will of God. It is all to align us to fear you, love you, and to take the path that you have set out for us, which in the end brings joy, protection. It brings sound wisdom. It brings so much for our good, and yet let that not display your goodness to those who seek wisdom, your greatness, your majesty, your kindness to your fellow creatures, to your people. Thank you for enabling us, giving us the hunger and the thirst that only comes from you. Oh, Father, do a work in our midst. In Christ's name, amen.